Happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you believe that scripture this morning? That all things are for your sake? I do. And if you don't, it'd be wise if you do, because your life will be much happier. And so we're going to dive into the blessings of suffering, or the blessings in sickness. And for my sake, I'm just going to pray one more time, if you'd pray with me. Heavenly Father, I'm excited to share your word this morning and things that I've experienced myself and that I know can be a blessing for everyone here. Please hide me behind your cross and let your words from heaven be spoken this morning, that all of us may leave from this place encouraged and hopeful and filled with your love and happiness. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was asking the Lord, what should I share this morning? And the Lord impressed me, share something practical, share something that everyone can really take something away from. And what better topic to discuss than the blessings in sickness? How many of you here have ever been sick in your life? All of us can raise our hands, right? It's something that we all experience. Some of us a little harder and tougher than others. But there are blessings in being sick. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by" what? "The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I've learned that the sum of life's happiness is not so much in what happens to us, but how we respond to it that really makes for the difference. I read a quote the other day, two quotes, and the quote says, "Man can make his circumstances, but circumstances should never make the man. Man should seize circumstances as his instrument with which to work. We should master circumstances, but should never allow circumstances to master us." So my question this morning is, what if we chose to see all of our life circumstances as an opportunity rather than a curse? I'll ask that question again. What if we chose to see all of our life circumstances as an opportunity rather than a curse? 2 Corinthians 4:15, "All things are for your sake." So, can you believe that there's blessings in being sick? Well, I'm going to share nine, can you believe it, nine blessings in being sick. But before we dive into that, let me briefly just cover several reasons why we may get sick. One reason why we may get sick is because of our personal choice, right? Sometimes we make poor choices of what to eat, not to exercise, not to get enough sleep, not to be temperate in things that are healthful, abstaining from things that are bad. For example, my Subaru, I love my Subaru, but one thing I don't like about my Subaru, my husband knows this, is that it takes 91 gas, which is much more expensive, right? And so every time we go to fill it up, I'm like, oh, it's so expensive. Can we just put the lesser gas in? You know how there's 87, 89, 91, whatever all that means. And we can't put the lesser gas in it because the car wasn't made to function with the lesser fuel. So we have to put the 91 fuel in. What happens if I put the 87 fuel in? It starts to malfunction. It did it after just one time we tried it. And things started to go wrong. And so it is, you know, in our life sometimes. God has created us and designed us to function in such a way where we require certain things. Now, the second reason we might get sick is because of somebody else's choice, right? Someone else's choice might in turn affect us, and it's not something we specifically did. A third reason that we may get sick or suffer in life is simply because God is allowing it, But it's a direct attack from the enemy. Who do you think of in the Bible that happened to? Job. Yeah, he didn't choose anything that directly affected him. Satan chose to afflict him, but God allowed the affliction to happen. But keep in mind that God did not bring the sickness or affliction. So when people say, oh, God gave me COVID, God gave me cancer, I don't think that's true. And if you disagree with me, you can kindly approach me after, and I'd be willing to hear you out. But the Bible says in Lamentations 3:33 that God does not afflict, and that God is the source of life and of love and of health. And so when these things happen, we have to understand that there is an enemy. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, an enemy has done this, right? And so, but God in his sovereignty and his providence, he can use bad things for our good. Romans 8:28, some of you may know it. God works all things together for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Now, there's another reason that we may get sick, and that is the reason that we will never know until we get to heaven and get to investigate the case of our life and why things happened. But if you turn with me to John chapter 9, we'll see an instance where someone was sick or suffering, and it was not because of a choice they chose or the choice of their parents, but it was for a good reason. In John chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, John chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, Jesus' disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents? So he's saying, listen, did this guy who is suffering, is he the one who sinned, or was it the choice of another? And what does Jesus say? In verse 3, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but so that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Let me read that last part one more time. He was born blind so that the works of God could be made manifest in him. Friends, sickness could be the greatest blessing in your life, because if you see what Jesus is saying here, he's saying that sickness could be the very means by which God manifests his works in your life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which was our scripture reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. Let's read it together. Instead of just verse 15, we'll read through verses 15 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How would we live our life if we truly believed that all things are for our sake? Now, when I read the word rebound in verse 15, some of you who may know my past, what do you think that I would think of in association with the word rebound? Basketball, yeah. I played basketball in high school, and a rebound in basketball is simply the offensive team shoots the ball, right? And then the defensive team has the opportunity to rebound the ball. The offensive team has the ability too. But when you rebound the ball, you take possession of the ball, right? And then you have an opportunity to make a play now because you have the ball. So what I'm saying is, when we give God thanks, even in sickness and suffering, we literally have possession of the ball, so to speak, and we have the ability to make the play or capitalize on the opportunity that is in front of us. We have the opportunity to see sickness as a privilege rather than an affliction, because through it, God can help develop our character or transform or renew our inward man, which is the only thing we can take with us to heaven. So instead of fretting about sickness, we can use it to our advantage. Did you catch that? We can use sickness to our advantage. How can I use sickness to my advantage? You probably think I'm crazy. But remember, it's not so much what happens to us in life, but how we respond to it that makes the difference. This past year, last April, I had COVID. And then in November, I had the flu. And then in December, I got COVID again. And I was like, Lord, why am I getting sick so often? And I can tell you within, like, each time I was sick makes up for, like, it was like 2 weeks, and then 1 week, and then another week. So that's like a whole month out of a year being sick. And I was like, Lord, what is the purpose in all of this? And all of these things that I'm going to be sharing with you are benefits that the Lord showed me from being sick at home. Number one, time to think. When you're sick, you have a lot of time to think, don't you? Because you're stuck at home. You have nothing else to do but just to lie around and think about not only your own life, but the lives of others that you may have forgotten about. Sickness is an excellent time for reflection. You recognize things about yourself that you wouldn't have otherwise noticed or learned. My dad, I hope he doesn't listen to this sermon, but my dad, as you know, some of you may know, he had back surgery just recently. And he's recovering well, by the way. Thank you for your prayers. But he was having a very hard time with pain just recently. And so David and I had been praying for him and asking the Lord to teach him things through the pain. And so my dad, he called me yesterday, and I said, how's the pain? And he said, well, it was amazing. I was just laying there at night, and then it just went away. It just completely went away. And I was like, you know, we've been praying for you. And you know what he said? He said, well, I think the Lord didn't like me swearing so much, so he took the pain away. And I said, well, Dad, you know, the Lord could be teaching you something through this, is that, you know, we learn things about ourselves when we're in pain, and our true character, our colors come out. And so, yeah, sickness is an excellent time to think and examine ourselves. I've learned in times when I'm sick, I'm very rigid, strict person with treatments. I'll spend this amount of time doing steam inhalation treatment, doing a fever bath, going outside at such and such time for a specific amount of minutes, and doing all of this. And the first time that I had COVID, the Lord showed me towards the end, like, Chelsea, you spend so much time on all these treatments, and you're forgetting trust in God, the most important natural remedy. And I was like, wow, I'm so sorry, Lord. And so then I took advantage of the time, instead of doing so many rigid treatments. One of my treatments was alone time with God, which is something we often forget about when we're sick, because we get scared and want to do all of the right things. All right, number two, time to pray and meditate unhurriedly. I hear from a lot of lifestyle guests, they say, you know, the one thing I'm thankful for in this sickness is that I have more time to spend with God. Because we tend to get so busy in our lives with serving other people and doing things for our family and getting absorbed in our work that we forget our first love. For the first time in a long while, you may have the time to think and to pray and meditate unhurriedly. Now you have the time you've always wanted that you never had before. For example, one of the things I realized while I've been in states of sickness is that you have a lot of quiet time. And God tends to speak to us through quietness, right? In Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 12, God speaks to Elijah. And when was it that Elijah heard God? The still, small voice. That's right. Have any of you ever, how many of you love to swim? Yeah, I love to swim too. And one of the reasons I like swimming is because, like, when you hold your breath and you're under the water, it is so quiet. Like, it's like this unique quietness that you can't get anywhere else. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And so one of the times that I was sick, I was giving myself a fever bath. I'm a very poor example of a responsible home hydrotherapy person, because you should never give yourself a fever bath. You need somebody in the with you. So do as I say, not as I do. Always have somebody with you. But anyways, this was before I was married, and so I was giving myself a fever bath, and I sunk like beneath the water so that the water's above my ears, and I'm just in that quietness. And it was in that quietness that I heard God tell me that David was to be my husband. And I may have not otherwise heard that. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was one of those distinct times that I heard God impress me with a very big decision. And so that was a huge blessing in sickness. I tend to be like really busy, and I like to do things, and sometimes I forget to just be still and hear the voice of God. Number three, in sickness, we appreciate our friends more than ever. Isn't that true? And sometimes you may realize that certain people show themselves friends more than others that you thought were your friends. Yeah, sickness makes a Christian appreciate his friends more than ever. You never knew you had so many. But now even those whom you thought did not care whether you were sick or not, they come to visit you and they bring flowers and say kind words, and the whole world can seem a little better. Now, think about this. And when I realized this, I was like, wow, this is so deep, Lord. If Brenda never got cancer, none of us would know her. None of us would know Brenda or Carlos if she had never got cancer. That just blows my mind. I don't know why I'm crying. I'm sorry. I think it's because I've come to realize that they are such special people, and that God can take such a terrible thing and make a beautiful thing out of it. If Brenda never got cancer, she would never have come to Eden Valley. And all of our lives would be a little different for not having her or Carlos in it. All right. Number four. We learn that we are not self-sufficient. We have always been, well, I can't speak for everyone, but we may learn that we are independent at some times and spurn help from others. But when you're sick, you can't spurn help from others. You need the help, right? Now you find that you can't help yourself and you must depend on others for even a glass of water. You learn that you're not self-sufficient, but a helpless little babe. You are in a new role and you profit from it. We may make greater strides toward the kingdom by lying on our back than in the busy activities of life. Isn't that true sometimes? Yeah. Number five, a mellow spirit. When you have time to think, you may think of the many times you have been impatient with the inefficiency of others, how you may have used harsh and biting words and wounded sensitive souls who probably did the best they were capable of. Now your spirit can be mellowed. You decide to be kinder, more understanding, and to show a true Christian spirit at all times. God is having you in school. A mellow spirit is something all of us need to possess to get to the kingdom of heaven. And so sickness can be a blessing in mellowing our spirits and helping us to understand others. I want to read to you this story out of a book called Prayer by N.L. Andreasen. I love old books, and this is an older book. There's so much wisdom in these older books. And in this book, in a chapter called The Purpose of Sickness, the author writes, "I knew a surgeon once who had never known severe pain by personal experience and who had little sympathy for those under his care who suffered, who dreaded pain. He was working on the wrist of a patient once and gave it a sudden twist, which made the patient scream in pain. The surgeon looked at her in disgust. 'Why, that doesn't hurt you.' 'No,' answered the patient, 'it doesn't hurt you.' Had the surgeon not been especially competent, I doubt that he would have had many patients. He was too unsympathetic. I discussed this with him one day, and while he admitted that perhaps he was rather unfeeling, he felt that most patients deserve little sympathy. They would complain before he had ever touched them, and if he catered to their fears, he would wear himself out completely. A surgeon needs to steel himself and not let a little pain disturb him," he said. He was doubtless more right than I thought, but nevertheless I expressed the hope that he would sometime have a little taste of his own medicine. I told him that it would do him a great deal of good to be sick, really sick. He laughed and passed it off." This is a true story, by the way. "Sometime later, he called me to the hospital as he wanted to have a talk with me. I found him lying on the bed with one leg in a cast. He asked me if I remembered what I had told him in regard to the matter of his being sick and the blessing it might be to him. I told him I did. 'Well,' he said, 'I am not really sick and I have no special pain. I had a condition that made it necessary for me to have the leg broken and reset. And now I am in a cast and will have to remain for some time. I have been doing some thinking. There are times when the leg itches most annoyingly and there is nothing I can do about it. I would give a good deal if I could only scratch it, but because of the cast, I cannot. Then the nurse will laugh at me and say that I will not die of itching. No, I won't die, but I tell you, at times I am most miserable. I think that when I get up again, I will be a little more understanding with my patients.'" He was. Have you ever had a similar experience where you think someone, oh, they're just being a baby, get over it, it's not that hard, but then you experience it yourself and you realize, oh, Lord, forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you can sympathize with people a little more when you experience something that they have gone through. Number six, when we're sick, we learn that we're not indispensable. You may have always imagined that you did more than your share of the work and that things would go to pieces if you were not there. It hurts your pride to discover that you are not as important as you thought and that men can get along without you. To learn this is good for the soul. It humbles us. Think about Elijah when he thought he was the only one serving God and the only one going through a hard time. And what did the Lord tell him? "There's 7,000 other people just like you who have not bowed the knee to Baal." And so through sickness, we can learn that though our jobs may be stressful and we think, how are they going to get the work done without me? They very well can get the work done without you. We have so many lifestyle guests come through the program and they beg me before they come, "Can I please bring my work with me?" And as Brenda knows, she tells them herself, you are not indispensable. If you die because you're overworking, somebody else is going to come right up and take your position and the work is going to go on just fine. So take care of yourself and take care of your health. Number seven, I love this one. A blessing to others who thus get an opportunity to develop talents that have been largely unused. Unsuspected abilities are discovered and men are given an opportunity to grow. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. I had never understood this verse before the context of the blessings in suffering or sickness. Philippians 1, 14. Philippians 1, 14 says, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So when Paul was suffering in prison, it gave the other believers an opportunity to preach the word without fear of comparing themselves to Paul. Isn't that cool? It's like such a real life thing. And so it gives other people an opportunity to develop talents, gives them the opportunity to grow. I think it was when I had COVID the first time, one of our staff members who's not here right now, she had to do some of the lectures that I did. And she was scared. And I said, you know perfectly well how to do it. This is your opportunity to really grow and improve. And she did it just fine, and she loved it. We've had other cases like that, but I won't mention them. For myself, it was a blessing even this week as we had Rihanna and Lydia away, sick. I was able to work as massage therapist with the guests, which I haven't done in a long time. And so it was an opportunity for me to work more closely with the guests than I would have otherwise. And I had the wonderful privilege to refresh my skills and refresh my soul by sharpening my massage skills. Yes, it's a wonderful privilege and opportunity to grow. And number 8, sickness teaches a person to appreciate more than ever the many privileges that has been his. Privileges of meeting friends in person, of hugging people, even fellowshipping together, the blessing of going to work and being useful and able to benefit others, even the privilege of walking around, you know. We realize a lot of privileges that have been ours when we're sick at home. And number 9, God knows best. And before I get into that one, there was one more benefit I wanted to share. When I was sick this last time, I said, Lord, person can't get COVID twice. How do I have COVID again? And my brothers had gotten sick at the same time because we had all been hanging out over the holidays. And somehow by the act of God, our spouses remained well and never got sick. So praise the Lord for that. But when I traveled back here, my brothers were still in Michigan. They were all sick. And I said, Lord, there's got to be a purpose in, you know, just being laid up at home. And he said, Chelsea, you've forgotten about your brother. I had reconnected with my brother several months before, and we were doing Bible studies. Then I got married, and things got so busy, and, you know, life just gets in the way. And I thought, oh my goodness, I forgot about my brother. And so I called my brother, and he had been having a hard time with the COVID, and so every day we would study the Bible. And that was a miracle in itself, because my brother's not a very spiritual man. And so that was a huge blessing. I said, Lord, if I had to get sick in order to reconnect with my brother and help him on his spiritual journey, then please, yeah, so be it. But number 9 is the last blessing in sickness that I have for our presentation here, and it is the blessing that God knows best. The conviction that God loves you and is preparing you to do a greater service, or if he thinks best, to let you sleep in the grave until the life giver shall come. In either case, you are in the hand of God and may pray that God's will be done. In that conviction, you can rest assured that God knows best. In either case, you are in the hand of God. I will never forget a past lifestyle guest by the name of Krista. This was several years ago. When Krista came to Eden Valley, she found peace in Christ through her trial of cancer here. And I will never forget, it just burns in my memory forever, at our graduation when she was contemplating life or death, she exclaimed with a voice of triumph and victory. She said just 4 words. She said, either way, I win. Either way, I win. Why did she say that? Because, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:15, she realized that even through cancer, this was for her sake. She said, her thanksgiving rebounded to the glory of God and the benefit of her eternal life. She knew that she was in the hand of God. She knew that all things were for her sake. She knew that all things worked together for good. She knew that no matter what happened to her, she was secure in Christ. And she knew if she had Jesus, she had everything. And friends, do you believe that today? If you have Jesus, you have everything. And really, when you look at the big picture of things, what is 30, 40, even 80 years on this life compared to eternity? It's nothing. It's nothing. And so, friends, an unfortunate, bad, miserable thing can turn for good. It's all in the reaction or response of the person in the sickness. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What other person has suffered so much he didn't deserve? And yet Jesus could sleep peacefully on a boat in a raging storm. He could lovingly wash the feet of his betrayer that he knew was ultimately leading to his death. He could say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," while dying on a tree that we nailed him to, the tree that would become the tree of life for all of us. Jesus chose to respond to his circumstances with the mind of his Father, the mind of humility and faith and thankfulness, which rebounded to the glory of God. How will we choose to respond to our circumstances? Well, that's only up to us, isn't it? I want to read two quotes from this book on prayer. It says, "Paul learned that suffering was not necessarily an affliction, but one of God's means of developing character. This viewpoint changes suffering from a calamity to an opportunity. We may then rest quietly knowing that God is doing a work for us that needs to be done. Thus, sickness becomes one of God's means for our salvation. And if we cooperate with him, it will not be time wasted in bed." Did you catch that? Sickness is not time wasted in bed, but precious seasons with God that will mean much to us on our way to the kingdom. So do not fret because of sickness. Use it. Life will be richer ever after because of your enforced idleness. We may make greater strides toward the kingdom by lying on our back than in the busy activities of life. And so, instead of considering sickness an affliction, it may be life's greatest opportunity to do what we have never had time to do before. Now we have the quietness and aloneness which is necessary for any great achievement. Sickness may be one of the greatest and most rewarding privileges of life. Let all, therefore, take courage. Amen.